Lego. It's good, everybody. I am your humble host of TC's Table. We're here doing the inside remote locations. You know, there's still a pandemic going on in some places, you know, in the world, especially here in Florida. But, you know, we're not going to talk about that. I am TZ, Mon TZ here. You guys already know me. Swerve City Podcast, TZ's Table, music with my bro Swerve, music by myself. You guys already know the introductions, everything that I do at TZ Scott, Instagram, Twitter, things like that, things of that nature. Erica Sun 2 is coming soon with this man here, who I'm about to introduce us on that album as well. And, you know, we are here with another exclusive. I would like to introduce the man. I'm going to give him the formal introduction here, coming first, straight from the soul here. This man has taken wrestling music to a level that has never been seen, has not been done. This man is, you know, right now, I always believe it. It's all in title runs, like we do everything in music. This man took the baton and has made this something bigger than whatever it is. However you guys see music, reggae, I'm not here to discuss that. This man took this and put this to a level that has never been done. I've done nothing but salute this man privately, publicly. This man is an undisputed legend, and what he has done is going to continue to do. I'd like to bring in my man, Mr. Russell Flo Josiah Williams. What is going on, brother?
That was an introduction.
You a legend, bro. You a legend, brother. You a legend.
You introduced yourself and you forgot to say that you know WWE Network. You're on Peacock too, right? I mean, like, you got plenty of stuff you can throw in there. You just chose the humble route. I just got Erica Sud 2 on the way. You know, just a little something to y'all. But I just got 500,000 streams, one track. I mean, it ain't nothing crazy. You know what I'm saying? But we just doing our thing over here. Like, salute to you.
Thank you, brother. It's been a long road for both of us, which we will get into. We both are very, you know, men of God, very good, humble guys. We try to take the good route, man, because we're surrounded by egos each and every day, brother. And I'm not saying we both don't have ours, but at least we're good about it. You know what I mean? first of all, man, thank you for coming on the show. I want to ask you, man. Everybody has 15 million questions if they see Josiah Williams. They have 40 million questions, but I got to ask you, how are you and how's the family, first of all?
I'm all right, man. I'm, you know, exactly as you would expect, just taking one day at a time, figuring out what the next thing is. But I'm good. I'm blessed. And not just the typical, stereotypical answer of, oh, I'm blessed. I'm alive today. Like, I really... I'm blessed, man. I'm genuinely happy. And I get to hang out with my best friend every night. So I'm like, you know, I'm chilling, I'm relaxing.
Amen, brother. You know, in the wake of times of everything that is happening, you know, you see people and legacy comes up. And when you say Josiah Williams' name and you see what you've done for the wrestling business and what you've continued to do, the work you've put in, tell us a little bit about, you know, your inspiration. What inspires you to make wrestling music the way that you do? Because all of us do it our own different way. What inspires you for when Wrestle Flow gets on the track? What inspires you to make the music that you make? Fire, bro. Fire.
Man, thank you, bro. Right back to you. So first of all, when I got into it, it wasn't even something that, you know, I saw other people doing, or I saw the way this person or that person. I was making my own music outside of this, you know, hip hop, Christian hip hop music. And in between projects, I always just like to do something to kind of clear my head, refresh myself before I go back in and start working on another EP or album. And I had always loved wrestling music. So I thought about just doing like a little music video series, and I thought about it over the years, never had a chance to do it. And I felt like 2018 was just the perfect time to just try it. I had just put out a project. I was stressed out and I'm like, let me do something that's not stressful. I think as we talk about, you know, there's a lot of people that do this, a lot of people I know, a lot of people I don't know. I think the difference for me was always just like, even more so than the actual music, I really enjoy and enjoyed the video aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to tell the story, not just through lyrics, but have something that accompanies it visually. I was always that kid who in college, just, I liked playing around, editing videos just for fun, little highlight reels and little teasers and stuff like that for like when the Deltas were crossing, like, oh, there's a new line of Deltas coming out, or, you know, just little fun stuff like that. So how do I take my love for music, my love for wrestling, my love for editing, and put it all in one package that allows me to just have fun and show people my work and the work of whoever, you know, talent or group, you know what I'm saying, that I'm talking about. So that's really what it is, man. I like the storytelling aspect of just making something that people want to come back and see. And in the world of wrestling, everything is a story. The match is the story. The entrance is the story. What you're wearing is the story. And that's all stuff that you can kind of like pick apart and make music about.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my focus with it, of just like create something that's fun, that you're not going to be stressed out about, or at least in the beginning I wasn't. And
facts.
And just have fun. Yeah.
Absolutely, brother. I think there's, you know, what's funny? It feels like there's only a couple of us that has like gotten to a certain point where we can have like certain conversations just because of the stress that we all have kind of felt at a period of time. Like you felt the highest amount of pressure. Like I've not been at that pressure each and every day, but at least the musical pressure of trying to recreate a moment and like the, you know, with the Megarans of the world, you know, yourself, myself, and the levels that we've been to, it's like, we all have, I've had like conversations with Megaran, and we all have just had this like, man, you know what I mean? Like when you get into it, you have these songs, you have these things that you're trying to do, and you're trying to get these impact. And then you're almost trying to convince a grown person to like support what you're doing. You know what I mean? Then you're like, can I at least get a retweet? You know what I mean? Or, you know, so it's funny, like a certain formula of what you've created. And When you started coming out in the visuals, the way that your mind works with the visuals is some Hall of Fame work, because what it does is the imagery goes so deep into the wrestler, and everything that you did with your editing, with the colors, it fit the person perfectly. Like I was like, God, this is amazing. Like the visuals.
Ooh, thank you, man.
Was amazing. And I'm pretty sure now you even got more stuff in your bag now that you got time to kind of sit back and recalibrate, because that recalibration time is important. Now you get those new ideas, those new fresh ideas, because sometimes you're just working that you don't really get that time to sit back. So now I'm pretty sure your artistry, and now that you got that motivation behind your pen now even more, it's going to be even bigger and better. What would you say has been the biggest challenges of just being who you are now in the associated with the wrestling lane and becoming who you are? What has been the challenges in your opinion?
There's a couple challenges. I think, you know, it happens so fast, like really, really, really fast. And for something that was just a fun thing to put on YouTube, and realizing within 24, 48 hours, like, oh, wait, this can actually be something. It all happened so fast, literally from the beginning to even where we are now.
Absolutely.
And I think the challenge in that, you know, I was weak with Wrestling Flow for a long time, like 30 videos back to back to back to back to back each week. And it's crazy how it timed out of, because, you know, the story is I posted the Undisputed Era video and the Gorillas of Destiny video same day, essentially. And once Undisputed Era saw it, that's when the person who would end up becoming my boss, my manager, reached out and was just like, hey, we love this. Would you like to work, or what did he say? Would you like to wear some of like the merchandise, the WWE shop stuff in your videos? I was like, yeah, that's cool. He's like, all right, we'll call you next week. They called me. It never happened. But, you know, the layers of all of that, of like, okay, there's a corporate system that you kind of have to go through. That's a challenge. Because when you're just making music on YouTube, it's just for fun. You can do whatever you want to, right? 9 months later, when you're working for WWE, there's a whole channel of people that you have to go through, get approved. Hey, you can't do that. Hey, you can't say that. And keep in mind, I'm clean. I'm a Christian rapper. So like, I'm not even saying anything crazy, but they're like, hey, if you say that, it's going to come across as this. And that kind of goes against these things. And it's like, all right. Whew. All right. So yeah, there's all that to kind of piece apart. But now I'm in this position where, you know, the dream was always to get to WWE. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened first. So now it's like, all right, well, what do I do now?
Like, right.
I don't know.
Right. And right.
I was so worried about that, you know, even when I got furloughed last year, I was like, okay, what happens if there's not enough money or, you know, whatever? Because COVID was so new. It's like, you don't know what to think. What happens if you have to start over, start fresh? And I realized, like, yes, it's a challenge. You know, I came back and then got released again. But it's like, yeah, it's a challenge, but you can take that with you. Yes, it's a challenge, but it's not the end of the world. Even if you never make another song again, you have a whole skill set that you can take into a bunch of different places and different directions. So,
amen. Amen.
So that's. Yeah, just a couple of the challenges. And then I think just managing like the stress level and the timing of it too, because if you're, you know, I don't have kids yet, but like one day I'm gonna have kids. So when do I have time to make that kind of music? And just, I can't just stay up all night doing that anymore. It's like there's a lot of things to consider. The mental health aspect. I can go on and on with the challenges, but it's about finding a way to turn those challenges into a positive situation and fueling you to be better, I guess.
You know what's crazy? I was talking to Swerve about this when we first started doing the podcast, and I started getting involved more. And, you know, you get to the higher levels and you realize that at least with music, especially if you're independent, you can kind of make your own structure, especially if you're doing good for yourself. You know, your own bedtime, your eating schedules, working out. The wrestling business doesn't have that. So you're like, you're just willy-nilly in the wrestling business. And then you said for yourself, you kind of just, one day you're just in the wrestling business. You're just in deep at the top level. Yep. And then it's an adjustment to the wrestling business, which is a totally different code, feeling, workaround process than anything. I swear I tell people this all the time. You will not know until you're in this.
Certain Man, at things, all.
Dude, it is it is a world that I swear, if you're not mentally strong and you're not able to work your way around things, it's like, man, it could be a lot for somebody if they don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they don't know how to maneuver through things, not to take everything personally, what friends to make, what friends not to make. It's a lot. So, but you've done an amazing job. You're still here. You still got a smile on your face and persevered through it. You know, you didn't end up bitter. Like a lot of people do in their respective lane.
Nah, man.
You know what I mean? And that's a great thing. It's not worth it. It's not.
Especially when you realize, like, man, so much of this is just, it's God-given. You can only, at least for me, point to God as, like, you've come from middle of nowhere, Illinois, to, you know, this situation. Like,
amazing.
Man, I can't not be thankful. I have to be thankful. Amen. And I can't just sit here and be bitter about something when I have so many things to point to as a result of it. both in wrestling and outside of that, even just like with my family, all types of stuff. Like, there's, you can't be better, man. It's not worth it.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, man. So you're now, you said, you know, the success comes and you, you know, you, 1 week you're just having this inspiration. You're stressed out. You say, I'm gonna make these wrestling videos and I'm just going to speak something about what I love. We've all been fans since we were little kids. This is something that has stuck with us. You know what I mean? Since little babies. Yeah. What would you say in your mind has been, what have you learned the most about being in this? What is the one positive thing you can say, you know what? I'm a different person now. This made me better from when you started to the experiences that you've had in the wrestling world. What has made you a better person?
Man, there's a lot. One example that I can think of right away, and I told the story a few times, but the night that I did the, what was that? Survivor Series, after Survivor Series, the NXT episode after Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. So the day before that, Shawn Michaels is like, hey, we saw the video that you did, just kind of rapping about NXT beating up everybody, and then it actually happened, and we want you to do that live. And I'm like, bet. Let's go. I was talking to Triple H about it, and he's like, yo, we like that. I want you to tweak a couple of lines. I'm like, bet. Okay. Because the original one, I was like talking about Shayna Baszler and like specific people, and he wanted it just to kind of be like everybody. So we tweaked that. He's like, all right, cool. Good to go. I rewrote the verse, and then kind of made it different for the next day. And when I got there, like, I wasn't nervous about doing it. It got difficult because I had the old version in my head. And like, yeah, I'm never nervous about performing, but I'm nervous about messing up in front of people. Cause you don't want to mess up. You want to do well. And that day was so rough because like each time I tried to do it, like I would blank the lyrics because I was thinking about the other lyrics, or like, it was just, it's never happened to me in my life.
Wow.
Like 4 or 5 times in a row. So I talked to Triple H the next day or like the next week, whenever it was. And he was like, yo, stop apologizing. You're fine. Everything went well. Like, we just want you to have the confidence in you that we see. And like, we believe in you. We want you to believe in you. And that's, I mean, I'm kind of changing some of the words. The man is very profane. But when he said that, I was like, yo, that really hit. That really, really, really hit me, because I'm like, you know, we're all human beings. Everybody kind of goes through their own stuff emotionally, mental health, etc.
Absolutely.
And it's just a reminder that at the end of the day, you're brought here for a reason, and you are where you are for a reason. And for so many people and people that you consider to be legends to say, we believe in you, we wouldn't put you here if we didn't think you were, you know, weren't going to do it. I think the answer to your question is just like, over the past few years, I'm reminded that my confidence has grown, whether that's live, digital, music, doesn't matter what it is. Like, I'm confident about what I have to present, not because I think I'm better than everybody else. I tell people all the time, not that good of a rapper. I'm really not. But I'm passionate about it. And I feel like when you're passionate about something, you can't take anything away from me. Like, I'm so confident about what I do because I love it so much. I'm not the best husband in the world, but I'm confident about my marriage because I love her. Like, that's, it's no different to me.
Talk that texture, brother. Talk that texture. Man. Talk that texture, amen, brother. Amen, brother. You preaching right now, brother. Boy, man. I'm glad I'm asking you the right stuff, man.
But that's it, man. That's what I've really, over, you know, that's what I've taken from it. The whole experience of just be confident in who you are, because the talent that you have is there for a reason. Even if you're not the best at what you are, even if you're not at this level or making this amount of money or whatever it is, like, you're there for a reason.
One, man, let me just say this, man. You're an amazing rapper, brother. I know we've had personal conversations, but just yourself, man, just speaking from my perspective, you don't have to be the 15 syllable guy and you don't have to be the bat and cat guy. You know what I mean? Some people like to profess more in the lyrics. Some people more into the delivery. Some people are more into the production side of things. Some people are more focused on saying things a certain way as opposed to being some, oh, I got to break down this line. You meant five different things. It doesn't make you a good rapper. But you know what I mean? Like, everybody, okay, you might can say a five-syllable thing, but, you know, there's something else that you have. Everybody's got their own specialty, brother. And I believe that you, every time that you hop on a record, there's a certain way that Josiah Williams is going to speak his message out. And only you can do that. You know what I mean? And I believe you're a great rapper personally. You know, I've always said that. I've always spoke to people. I'd be like, yo, man, Josiah Williams goes in. If anybody ever asks me any questions, because it's funny, this wrestling world's different. They start asking me and I'm like, that's my man. You know what I mean? Like, that's my guy. He's a great rapper. You know what I mean? I've always said that. I've always championed you and always said that you know, everybody likes to just, okay, let me ask you this question. Let's be real here for 1 second. How many times have you looked on social media or anything and, like, it's, our names are attached? And it's like, that's my man. It's nothing ever bad.
All the time.
But it's like,
all the time.
It's like, look, man. There's no wars going on. We all sit in the same room. It's all love. There's no, you know, oh my God, dude. I just always, everybody's on the podcast. So what do you think? Dude, it's amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's the one thing about the industry that I really don't like is just the need to always compare somebody or compare something. That's the one thing about the industry, not just wrestling, but in the world today. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant's his own great player. LeBron's his own.
I was just getting ready to bring up that point. Go ahead. Just keep going.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody has their own skill set. You know, LeBron can rebound, pass. Kobe, he can make a shot with five hands in his face. It's just the way everybody is. You know, you're like, I would say, okay, I would be honest perspective. I would say when you came in, you was like Giannis, bro. You came in, and everybody was like, "Yo, this dude's yo, you see him? You know what I mean? You're Giannis with a jump shot. I'm not gonna disrespect your jumper. Giannis with an amazing jump shot. You can definitely shoot from 25, 30 feet. So that is not. Oh, I'm not gonna say Giannis. You're Giannis with a jump shot. And I'm like, yo, this guy came out of nowhere, bro. Like, this guy is like he came in, and you just made a whole whirlwind of yourself and made a unity of all of us that is just like, yo, man, this guy is it. Let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
Do you feel that when you got to that position, and keep it honest with me, do you feel like there was, like, did you feel any pressure? Did you feel like there was anything, like you said, oh, man, you know, for this legacy and for everybody that's doing it, I feel like I have to carry, like, a certain prestige about it? How do you feel about that?
Not from a music perspective, I didn't feel that.
Right.
I did feel it from, well, maybe at times, I don't know. I definitely did feel it from an on-air talent perspective. You know, here's, let's say, who? Anybody. Caleb Braxton, even as an example. Someone who literally kind of created her style and became Caleb Braxton, Kathy Kelly, Alisa Taylor. Like, everybody has their own thing. And then I just pop up. And it's like, okay, well, who are you? Like, where you come from? And because I had, you know, somebody, Brian Pelagato is his name, the guy that reached out initially, who reached out and said, yo, I really I really like this guy. I really believe in you. There was that pressure, and there was a lot of that. From a music side, I never really felt it because I didn't really pay attention to it, because it wasn't something that, like, I didn't get into making wrestling music to be the, you know, whatever, to be the top of it. To
bingo.
Anything. It was
bingo. Me too.
Yeah. The whole intent behind it was for me to not be stressed out at my day job. So it was like, or, you know, while making my own music.
Right.
So even when, like, you know, because it's the world of wrestling, you know, when you get negative comments and stuff like that, that to me never really meant anything, because I wasn't looking to take this there. But I had people around me that were so good. Like, when you look at Alicia Taylor on NXT, it's easy for her. When you look at Greg Hamilton, Mike Rome, like, everybody, even like Adam Cole, who gets in the ring, and like his promo against Karrion Kross, what was that, like a month ago or not even that long ago, was fantastic. Amazing. Like, it's so easy. Yeah. It's so easy for a lot of people. And that was never really, and even to this day, not really that easy for me. So I kind of had to find my own style to understand, like, yo, this is who you are. Just relax in that. And that helped me to, in the moment, just kind of let go of some of that pressure. And then also meeting people like Dakota Kai and a couple other people who are also introverts like me, but also, like, this still feels weird. Like, Dakota Kai's been wrestling for well over a decade, and even now still gets like, I feel like I could have done better. I feel like I could have done this, or I don't know if I'm in the right place. Like, having other people to kind of talk to about that are just as, I don't know what the word is, but have the same feelings as me, that helped a lot too. So yeah, I felt the pressure. And then from a music standpoint, I mean, coming in, people were tagging me like, yo, check out Smoke Dizza, check out Mega Ran, check out Montezzi. So I had people to look at. And then y'all, before I even had a chance to reached out. So it was like, okay, I know who these people are now. And now I have somebody to, like, look to work. And Mega Ran was so dope about that. I was just like, yo, you want to rap about Gallus? Like, it was just so easy. It was
dude's,
so easy.
Dude's like the godfather, that. Bro.
Yeah.
Dude's,
yeah.
Like, he's like, Mega Ran, I gotta give him his roses, man. Mega Ran is like the, he's like the big brother. He's like the big bro. Like, if he's like, hey man, how you doing, brother? You know what I mean? Like, and he just shows love to all of us. Like, when we got started, like, Mega Ran, like, I'm like, yo, Mega Ran is this. And then he has his own lane with the anime stuff. And then when he does the wrestling stuff, big love to Mega Ran for always showing love, man, and being an innovator. Sometimes innovators like yourself, myself, Mega Ran, guys like us, sometimes it's harder for us to get, like, the love sometimes, because we're the first to do different things or new. You know what I mean? And sometimes being an innovator, it takes people some time to catch on. But shout out to Mega Ran for always being that guy and showing love, man. I want to ask you this too. Are you what they call an extroverted introvert, where if you're at your job, you can get along with everybody. Yeah. You can, like, because I'm the same way. Like, I can shake hands, I can communicate with everybody, but as soon as I get home, I don't need to talk to nobody for like a day. I need a day where it's like I don't even speak to nobody. It's nothing personal. I have to reset, because I'm around 15, 20 different energies at one time. And you're always reading the room. As an introvert, you're always reading the room. It's just how you're wired. And tell me a little bit about that. Like, would you agree that you're that person?
I am, for sure. Like, I'm not as, you know, we all hear about, like, Brock Lesnar introverted, where it's like, I'm going to live in the middle of nowhere. When I go to the airport, I'm not even going to smile at people. I'm not like that. I'm, right. You know, but I am one of those people. And it's crazy because I didn't used to be like that. I was always the person who I was ready, especially in college. We ain't gonna go back to those days, but I was different.
Talk your talk, sir.
I was a very different man in college. But yeah, I get to that point where, you know, especially as a, you know, I did college basketball emceeing for 5 years. So going out during timeouts and halftime, and literally my job is to get the crowd pumped up. Like, whether we're losing or winning, my job is to make sure they're still having a good time. So even with that, it's like, okay, we're going to go out, we're going to do this. Same thing for NXT. And when I give you this microphone back, I'm going home. Like, I don't want to sit around. I don't want to talk to nobody. I'm ready to be done. It's draining. It's just, even when we went to, you know, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, or just takeovers.
Oh, my God.
Man, like, you know, being friends with, like, the Street Profits and Ricochet and even my friend Cornell, who works at the Performance Center, like, absolutely, those are all people, they all like to just, hey, where are we going after this? What are we doing? We going to get some food? We going to this place? We going to that place? And I'm like, I'm going to my room. Like, I love y'all, but I'm done. I felt bad because there are a lot of people that I could have had probably better friendships with. Not saying that it's bad or anything like that, but I could have known them a little bit better if I was the type to hang out a little bit more. But yeah, I've always just been that person to, like, I want to chill. I don't, when I'm done, I'm done. And that's, I feel like I'm getting old, but yeah.
Bro, it's funny because a lot of us who have this talent, especially that artistry and artistry, you're acting, a lot of us are a lot like this. Now, there's some people who are the complete opposite, like a Angelo Dawkins or a Cornell. They can go out, chill. And a lot of people in the wrestling business are like that. They go out, they hang out. And me, I'm just like, yo, you start feeling it in your spirit. You have nothing left. And you're just like, you know what? I'm done, bro. Like, you know, it's no disrespect to anybody. But I'm tired. And you start feeling it, like, you know, you start feeling it in your soul. You're like, okay, I got to go sit down for a minute and kind of process, because this business is all, it's just go all, man, day.
Yeah.
And people end up wired to just be moving all day. And I'm just like, nah, man, I know when this is done. Like, everybody asks me, like, yo, where's the, after the show, where's TZ at? TZ's over in the corner getting his sweat off him with some water. Right. I mean, Swerve can tell you this. There's times we've done a few shows together now, or I've done something where I just, like, get quiet. And he's like, you good? I'm like, dude, I'd have to zone out. Because,
yeah.
And it's just me and him in the car, and I don't mean nothing by it, but it's just, you have to, it's a lot of energy going into the studio 3-4 hours recording. It's a lot of energy performing, doing a show for 25 minutes, and then you have that come down time, whereas at the show's over, you're just adrenaline, and then like Russell Flo's gone, it's like Josiah and like Antoine, and like, all right, come back to life, brother, come back to life, and it's just like that feeling, and it's like, all right, I'm ready to go home, I'm done, like I have nothing left, you know what I mean? Let me ask you this: what's something for your everyday life, man? What motivates you? Like, everyone has a different type of thing that motivates them. For you to get up each and every day, not only for your career path, but in life, man. Tell me a little bit about your everyday motivation. What keeps you going? Is it the mom? Is it the wife? What keeps you motivated each and every day?
Yeah. Bree's pretty good at keeping me motivated, of just having somebody around that truly believes in you, and not just when you make it to WWE, but back in the day when I literally had to ask her for the meal plan in college to swipe, you know, like having somebody who truly, truly believes in you. Mom, family. And I think now at this point too, having people, like genuine people, and, you know, Adam Cole's a great example of that, of someone who really went to bat and say, hey, I believe in this dude and I want to make this work. even people like behind the scenes who aren't, you know, the TV people, but are just like plugging in stuff. Like there are so many, you hear a lot of stuff about all these companies and terrible people and the decisions that people make. But there's also a different side of that. And the good hearted, kind people.
Amen.
That,
amen.
Yeah, they put in that work, but they're so encouraging too. So there's a lot of that. I think there's the people who support what you do and your artistry. You know, I didn't have the following that I have now, you know, 4 years ago. So seeing people, I think that's probably the biggest thing, as a matter of fact. Just like, you never know how your music or even just some of the things that like you tweet or share can help other people.
Amen.
And I realized that pretty quickly of like, all right, because of what I represent, because of who I am, because of what I believe in, that's probably the number one thing, but that helps other people. So yeah, that's the answer of just like the people that are positively affected by what I do and what I present, I'd say.
You know, man, you know, here's something about this industry that I think that it's very, very, it's something that needs to be said. There's a certain respect that you have for a certain peer or somebody else that does it, because you know that it takes a special type of person to, one, last in this, and two, to be where we're at. You know what I mean? To see the levels that you've gone to see where it's grown and where you've grown and taken it. It takes a very, very special person, and to be a peer and to root for somebody to be successful. I think that that's something that I want to touch on real quick, because when you look at everything, you see someone that's on TV, and let's say, you know, you're an actor and I'm an actor, and you know, we do these things. There's, you know, everybody thinks everything is on a competitive level, and it is not. Everything is always on a, it can always be like, hey man, that guy, I'm rooting for him and he's helping me get better. You know what I mean? Because that person has a special gift, and that's a special calling for that person and the reason why they're there. Give me some other people as well that you look up to that you would say in other realms, don't have to be just music, any wrestlers, other people you look up to that helps you sharpen your sword to become a better host, a better interviewer, a better artist. Who are some of the people that you know, that you, other peers you look at in that regard?
Man, this, I'm gonna try not to make this a long answer, because there's so many.
Take your time, man. Take your time.
Getting to know, I mentioned Dakota Kai earlier. I mentioned Adam Cole earlier. Getting to know Keith Lee, someone who came in, I mean, Keith Lee, but just so humble, so caring for others, someone who was so dedicated to the craft. He was always, always amazing. Bianca and Montez at the top of the list for sure. Because for them, it wasn't just wrestling. It wasn't even music. It was like, we connected immediately just on a human being level. And on a, we are Black in this industry level, which that means a lot.
Amen. Like,
amen. It means a lot. Amen.
Hey, Josiah, I hit him with the wide eyes on that one. Amen.
Woo! Yeah. Cornell, as you know, a lot of people know a lot of the stuff that he's been through over the past Amen. Couple of months. Amen. And just seeing the amount of love that he has for his interests, for his family, like he doesn't give up. And if you can go through that, one of the worst things imaginable, for those who are listening who didn't know, he lost his son, less than what, 48, 72 hours after birth, in the middle. This is right after WrestleMania season. There's so much going on. And for him to continue to be such a light, you know, still calling me, checking on me and ask, hey, how are you doing? what's going on. Like that's a different kind of special for real.
Absolutely.
Man, literally, like it's almost difficult to not just say everybody because I really Byron Saxton one day we were walking back to, I don't even remember what event it was. It may have been like New York, SummerSlam, Barclays Center. So I don't remember where it was, but Byron Saxton in the 8 blocks that we walked back from the venue to the hotel stopped for every single person that asked for a picture, that for every single person that recognized him, for every single person that just wanted to say hi, didn't want anything else in return. Like he spoke to every single person that day.
Amen.
That night. And did so happily. Like he was tired. He was exhausted. He just did a whole show. But there was no hint of like, I have another person to talk to, another picture to take. Mm-hmm. Like none, not even a little bit. And I will never in my life ever forget that. Even when tired, even when completely drained, like he goes out of his way to be so kind to other people. That just like, that meant everything to see that, because you live in this world, like of wrestling, so many egos, so many people who are bigger than that or better than that, or like, hey, no pictures, hey, no this, but there was not one person that he pushed off or, you know, anything like that. It was amazing to see that. I'm gonna just stop there because I could literally just probably say something about everybody.
Yeah, got you. That's a great outlook to have, you know. One thing about it, man, is that it's funny because the entertainment business is such a results-based business. Like, oh, like I say this on the podcast all the time with Swerve, like you can get up each and every day and you work at Publix, and you work in the freezer, and it's like, okay, I know for 40 hours a week, I'm working 7 to 3 p.m. I'm going to do my job. This is exactly what I'm going to do. I need to put up these many cases, rotate the shelves, stock, things like that. But there's a structure behind what you do. So a lot of times, unless you're making a crazy amount of money or you become a management position, a lot of times your ego is in check.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know what I mean? In this business, you can get a whole bunch of streams or be in the wrestler's business and main event Monday Night Raw, or you can drop a freestyle with so-and-so or anything. And it seems like the egos and our respective lanes are something that it's so crazy because everybody just gauges it themselves on what their insecurity or what their happiness is or anything like that. Let me ask you this, though. What has, and you know, this is a question just because of you're at the level that you're at and you can help somebody else that's up and coming like this, an up and coming artist, especially that's in your position that wants to come up. Because this is something that many people don't get to talk about. Handling egos of other people.
Yeah.
It is something that I don't think gets spoken about enough when you're at the level that you're at, somewhere that where I'm at, where you work so hard because this business is about relationships and you have to deal with so many catering of other people sometimes to advance. What has been your experience with that and taking it to a positive to be able to maintain one, your sanity, and two, being able to work with others? I think it's something that many people don't get to talk about.
Yeah. So I can only speak from my experience.
Absolutely. And
a lot of it is just the way that I carry myself and the way that I treat other people. I'd say about 99.8% of people that, or 98 point something percent of people that I worked with, everything was fantastic. Like no major issues. There were times, and this isn't even just in the company that I worked for, but outside places too,
amen,
where, you know, you try to introduce yourself to somebody and they look at you and walk away, or there are times where, you know, you respectfully try to reach out to somebody and, you know, they don't want nothing to do with you or something like that. So that happened a lot. And I think there's two ways to handle it. You can lash out and be angry. And where's that going to get you? Nowhere. It pretty much is going to make them right, actually. Or you can just keep moving. Like, there are too many good people to be worried about what they think.
Amen. Amen.
And I feel like it's as simple as that. Like, there are so many genuine human beings in the world. I feel like it's the same thing when it comes to like comments and stuff on online. There are too many people who support me and who wish me well and who love me and who listen to the music and whatever to focus on the people who feel the opposite. Like, it just, and it's not worth, especially for me, it's not worth the stress, the mental health, everything. Like,
absolutely.
Why would I even look at it? Why would I pay attention to it when there's all this other stuff over here? And I know that, especially in the beginning, those first couple of videos, like, I looked through every single comment. Like, I would go out of my way to try to find, like, okay, what do people think about this? How do they like this? And I would get frustrated because I cared about what other people thought. And it's like, well, how does that help? Okay, you go through the comments, you read, you know, you look at everything. How is that actually going to help you? And what does that change? Because now you're in a position where you're stressed out about it. You're not thinking clearly, and your art form is not being expressed the way that it should be because you're too focused on this other stuff. So yeah, the ego stuff, it's not worth it. And I also realized that once those people realize, oh wait, he's not responding to me the way that I want him to. He's not upset about it the way that I want him to. Most of those people are like, cool now, because they know that's just not how I get down. Like, you know, I don't carry that with me. And I think a part of that is my intent. Like what I said, when I got into this, both from the music, the on-air stuff, like I understand that I'm not number one. I understand that I'm not the greatest in the business. But I'm dedicated, I'm passionate about it, and that's really all it is. I'm having fun and I'm living a dream. And last thing, real quick. In eighth grade, we had this like end of the year ceremony, and I didn't get no awards. And I was the most talented person in school. Like zero awards, zero acknowledgement, nothing. And I remember my mom was there and she was like, you like kind of working through and talking to me about it. She's like, you understand why you didn't get anything, right? I'm like, oh, why? And she's like, because you treated your entire staff, like all your teachers and stuff, horribly. Like you became this ego-obsessed kid that no one wanted to be around. And so they gave the awards to all the people who tried the hardest and who cared the most. And I never forgot that. And I will never forget that. Like, there was a guy who, like, we had a dance class, couldn't dance, was not that great. And I remember him being complimented on his work ethic. I remember him being complimented on his kindness. And I also saw him become a great dancer, too. Like, that happened so much. And when I saw that, I was like, that's my learning lesson. That's what I got to do. So protect the egos and just live your life and have fun, man. It's not worth it.
Amen, brother. I learned, you know, through time, and it's funny because you don't want to end up being like the old guy on the rocket chair talking about what you don't like. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the old guy. Like, that's why with music, I kind of, even if like a lot of these rappers, I don't understand them or what they're saying, I at least try to show love. to them, to like the guys, the popular guys on the radio and everything, because
yeah,
I don't want to be the guy, because I remember being 15, 16 when we still had CDs, still going to support, like that shows our age, right? And going to support people, and then when you become the guy that doesn't understand the young slang anymore, you don't want to be that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I hear the stuff these guys are talking about, and I'm like, what is he talking about?
What did he just say?
And then they explain it to you, you're like, oh, okay. And then your natural reaction be like, yo, that's terrible. But you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and Swerve got a thing called that guy. You don't want to be that guy. There's only one guy in the room. It's like me. It's like me, you, Mega Ran. All of us are in one room. That one guy that raps about wrestling is like, yo, I'm the best guy in here. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be
that guy. Everybody's like, oh my gosh.
Like, you gotta be that guy. We're not here for that, but here comes that one guy.
Yeah.
Yo, I got 50 bars right now. It's like, oh, here comes Justin. Here he goes. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you don't want to be that guy. So I think it's great how, you know, you've been able to help, you know, that advice can help out other people, because I had to learn to appreciate my journey. My journey was different. Like the way that you feel about you saying that, you know, with the passion, it's like, look, everybody can say what they want about my music or in their opinion, but I'm passionate and I love it. My vision is like, people think it's the music, but no, me is the broadcasting, it's the podcasting. I rap because it's just what I like. I've done it my whole life, so it's cool.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, the music's like, nah, when I'm sitting with Swerve doing that podcast, that's when I am happiest. Like, I'm talking to people, I'm interacting with folks. Look, man, Jesus Christ can walk through the room. Hey, God, how you doing? You know what I mean? And I'm just going to sit down and I'm just going to have a conversation with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I feel like I shine the most. Everybody think it's music. Nah, it's that podcasting and interacting with folks. And
yeah,
just having those conversations, everybody would be like, hey, you guys have a script? No, we have bullet points, but we just kind of go with the flow. And
yeah.
So, here's a question for you. When are we going to get to Josiah Williams, like, full-time podcast? When's that coming?
Man. So I, when I got furloughed last year, I tried it a little bit. And once again, same thing. It was just something to kind of clear my head out. Like, I just kind of used it as a space to try something different, try something fun. And I enjoyed it. I think what I realized watching and listening to other people is like, I want to present this in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped it, even though I, you know, people were listening to it and they enjoyed it and still even now ask about it. I'm like, you know, I don't feel as if this is what I want it to really, really, really be. Okay. So, and I'm somebody who I'm very like, like with some of them Wrestling Flow videos, like I would skip dinner or just wait, you know, until later because I wanted to like get it right. There wasn't a video that I put out, at least in real time, that I was like, I regret doing this one or I regret doing this because like I put so much into it. And I felt like if I were to continue with that Wrestling Flow podcast in its form that it was in, I would regret it because I want to present it the way that I have it in my head and I'm not there yet.
Right. Got you.
Yeah.
Sometimes, so basically, essentially, it's like you gotta wait for life to happen a little bit. In order for you to, yeah. The reason why I asked you that is because you have a certain message, man, with who you are, not only with your brand, who you are and what you've done, but it can help out not only a lot of artists, but a lot of people because of your story. And a lot of people, when they get to a certain point, they don't want to kind of give the game back. They, you know, like, and not saying you have to give everybody everything, but at least the people that really want that really care and want to, you just have a certain story that just looking at it from my perspective, outside looking in, that can help out so many people because so many people could struggle with confidence or their artistry or maybe they're video editors or they're hosts of shows and you're so multi-talented that you can give so much advice to someone or anyone who's listening to your, you know, to your podcast that, you know, I feel like, you know, it's kind of the same thing with me where when I talk to folks, I really don't like talking wrestling too much. And I really don't, I like talking life with people, but just for the simple fact of getting to know someone, and we're all human beings each and every day. It's like, if I invite you on this podcast, I'm like, hey, Josiah, we've been talking about this podcast. So yeah, Bret Hart versus so-and-so, 1995, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just like, yeah. You know, you can have a conversation. You know what I mean? You just want to have a conversation. And I feel like with your platform, you can help out so many folks. You know what I mean?
First of all, thank you. And yeah, it's funny that you say that because as I've been thinking about, okay, now I have so much more, you know, freedom and time. And once I'm not there yet, but once I really get back the creative energy, because I have been drained for a while, but once I get that back, there are ideas that I have. And the biggest thing that I've been trying to figure out is, okay, how can you even further use your platform to help other people?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, I apologize. I may have just cut you off there, but there are two other people that I have to give credit to, and that's Mark Henry and Titus O'Neil. Because it's not just about them. Like, so much of who Titus O'Neil as the WWE character, but you know, so much of who he actually is outside of that is genuinely helping other people. And I told both of them coming in, it's like, look, I understand that we won't be here forever. I understand that, you know, there is a life after WWE and after wrestling, even outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that I want from you guys is just to teach me how to better help other people. And I word for word like said that to both of them, and I have to give credit to them for that. But I apologize for cutting you off.
No problem, man. You know, I think you learn over time that it's all about the benefit of what you could do to help others and what you could do to build the morale about people. Because there's two things that I learned in this respective business that we are in, the entertainment business or anything in life. I watch any documentary on a wrestler, a basketball player, especially when they're in the league or rapping in their primes or whatever, acting, and then when they leave the game. The two mm-hmm. things you know you hear about the most is what they did and who they put on, essentially. And I always was cognitive of saying, I don't want to be the story of where I did so many great things, but I didn't assist other people to that point. And I understand that's the thing about being the extrovert, the introvert, because sometimes you have to trust the assist you give to some people. And I mm-hmm. had to learn whatever results happened from it, I did my part. And, you know, you just don't want it to the point where it looks bad on your name or something because you feel like you're a bad judge of character if you do this for somebody. You can't look at it that way. I feel like I've opened a lot of doors for a lot of people just because I just want my karma to be good back to me, because I know how hard it was for me to open, to try to get in the doors, and nobody was opening the door. I know you went through it too. It's like, you're trying to get to, hey man, just give me an opportunity. I'm not asking for no money. You ain't got to employ me or anything. Just let me get in the door. Then I can work myself in from there. You know, we're naturally born hard workers anyway. So, and shout out to Mark Henry, shout out to you for even accepting to do that, because that's a certain responsibility that a lot of people, it takes a lot of selflessness. And sometimes you have to throw the alley-oop to somebody else sometimes when you can easily dunk it yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a good feeling when you see other people start winning and you can say, you know what? I'm glad I was able to do that, because the only way we're able to be accepted in this game is by somebody else opening the door. So is there, is there anything else that you feel like that is on your goal list now that you haven't done that you want to achieve? What's next for you in your life goal list, or are you still in the middle of figuring that out?
I think, yeah, still in the middle of figuring that out. Like, I didn't accomplish everything that I wanted to accomplish at WWE, but a lot of it I did. So, you know, you always dream about doing a theme song for somebody that you know very well. So doing a theme song, cool. Doing a performance at an event, whether, you know, regardless of where it is on the card, being able to do that, cool. Obviously, I think at that point, it's like, all right, well, then let's figure out how to get on the WrestleMania stage. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a pretty, like, big stretch. Huge, 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 huge goal. You know, and I'm also at the point, too, where it's like, man, whether things happen or not, like, I'm able to at least point to these things and say, hey, I got there. I don't know how I got there, but I got there.
Made history, brother.
Man, thanks. Made history, thank you,
bro.
Man.
Made history. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you made history, bro. And just telling you from artist to artist, man to man, from Antoine to Josiah, bro, what you have done for this game is unprecedented. People could sit back and say, you know what? It's possible. Because that's all people need is that glimmer to say, you know what? This man innovated it in a different way that has never been done. You know what I mean? Someone that comes from your story that you wouldn't even think WWE would hire a hip-hop artist. You wouldn't even think that. You know what I mean?
At all.
You wouldn't even think that. But you know what? You had that. You have that gift, and you have that feeling that you have that talent that when it was your time, and it's still your time, that it's your time. It's just, you might have to take a right this time instead of going on the straight road you're on. And then you go back to the goals that you were on to ahead of prosperity. But you might just have to they're doing a little construction on that road. Okay, I'll turn up. I'm still going to get where I'm going to go. You know what I mean? I'm just going to take this right turn. So, you know, man, I feel like this, man. I think that the ceiling is so high for you because what you've been able to accomplish and what you've been able to do has been so historic. It's a story that only you can tell because you've been at a certain place. And now, you know, who knows? You know, now that maybe, you know, for right now, at least, WrestleMania might be something that could come later or the cars, whatever. You know, there's another place with another big pay-per-view. You know what I mean? That they run every year. You know, yeah. It might be something called All In or Double or Nothing, or, you know, things like that. That you know, you can get that spotlight moment and shine. You know what I mean? And for everybody who doesn't know, I'm going to make this very, very clear, who doesn't know, whether you hear Serena Deeb or Mr. Sean Spears or Sammy Guevara and Big Swole. There's two guys here that has four, you know, that has four different songs in rotation over there. And I'm happy every time that I hear the music because I'm like, man, we're doing this. We are doing this. And it's all love. Like, there's no reason why all of us cannot support each other, show love to each other. I'm happy to see it because we're all young black men from different environments that had to grind our behinds off to get here. And
yeah.
It's great to see the success. And dude, when I saw you come out, I'll never forget this story. I'm gonna say this real quick. I'm sitting back in my apartment watching my big screen. And I'm watching TV and I hear Adam's Cole music and I hear, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, he did it. And I'm watching that moment and I'm like, this is what it's all about. That moment there is something that I don't care what anybody else says. They cannot take that moment away because WWE, one, being known to do that, to trust a hip hop artist, a black man, someone who's come from out of nowhere to do that, for Adam Cole to give that cosign, Road Dogg, all these people to do that, that was different. And I think people have to really look at that for what that moment was, bro, because there was so much riding behind that. So many people have wanted to do that or couldn't have the opportunity. And then you have, you know, the business. Shout out to them for being current on what's going on in the world with hip hop music to let that happen, bro. For me, looking at it, bro, I saluted it. I loved it. And I was like, I told the whole Swerve City team, I said, man, he just made history doing that. That was history. So,
man,
love to you, brother. Love to you, bro.
I appreciate that. I truly, truly, truly do thank you for that. And that's, you know, that's literally what all of this is about, man. Like, we are going to accomplish so much. We have accomplished so much. And realizing that it's not just like a, hey, I did this for me. I did this just because it was a dream. It's a reminder that they always say there's some little kid at home, but it's not even the little kids. There's probably a grown man at home that's like, I can do that. I can literally do that. Because I was definitely that person of just watching, you know, wrestling in my 20s, late 20s, and realizing like, oh, that's something that I can do. But yeah, I appreciate it. And even more so than my stuff, I think it's because what you're also kind of forgetting to mention in all of this stuff is, like you said, you care about the music, you're passionate about the music. Your podcast was on the WWE Network. What other black podcast can say that? Like, there's so much within that. So it's a reminder to me, you know, at one point, Mega Ran almost came out to do a WrestleMania entrance. He did. He was a part of the what's the name? Usos.
The rap battle. Thing. Yeah.
Like, when you see, it's not the same for everybody. And when you see, like, it's possible, but not just to do it that one way, or to do it here, or to do it in this specific company. Like, it happens everywhere, and it's possible everywhere. And me, you said this too, me being on TakeOver, you being on the WWE Network, him being on Raw or SmackDown, whichever show it was, like, there's so much. Wale having a whole festival in his name, like, none of that takes away from what the other person is doing.
Bingo.
And points to that of, like, it's all a part of the same culture. You do things differently, you build differently, and at the end of the day, if they ever do a documentary, a YouTube video about hip hop and music, like, you know, whether they say our names or not, we were a part of it. And that's it.
And that's all you can ask for, brother. And seeing how we all have done something that has been, you know, dude, sometimes I forget because you get in work mode, bro, and you just start grinding. And reflection time, sometimes it's hard to come by. I've become more appreciative of the reflection. Naturally, when I'm with my children, that's when I get more reflective. Because not only am I reflective on my life, but just seeing what everything is, I become more reflective. And I'm like, man, what a journey. You know, you start working hard and now you see what everything is. It's like, man, I think what will culminate one day is just all of us on stage someday. All of us on stage someday. We'll get Swerve in there too, man. Just all of us on stage someday doing something where all of us can just, man, I will dead ass learn every word to your damn songs and do it. I can't say I know them word for word, but knowing that would come, I would learn. I would learn it and just be your hype man, brother, and all of us just support each other, bro. You know what I mean? And I see it in the cards someday, but I don't know, you know, the universe will make it happen. God will make it happen the way it's supposed to. Yeah. But I see that happening someday where all of us is on the same bill, just doing our own thing. Like, I will talk to you in private about something me and Swerve thinking of, but I'm going to announce that here for them people.
Okay. You're right.
You guys will you know, we'll get to that. You guys, you fans will know when we get there. But yeah, man, there's some great things, ideas and stuff that I'm thinking of and we're thinking of that could really make this be a fruition, man. But at the end of the day, man, we're all part of history. We all support each other. And I'm super proud of you, man, and everything that you're doing, the future that's coming. Anything you want to shout out, anything, you know, in closing that you want to say to the people before we close out?
I don't think so. I mean, just, I appreciate the opportunity and just being able to, I feel like this wasn't really an interview. This is us talking, just chilling, just getting, you know, just hanging out. I think the only thing that's on my mind, you know, we talk about like what's next or, you know, what you're working on. Da, 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 da. And I always think, or not always, but I've been thinking about it since that day, a month or, you know, a little bit more than a month ago of like, all right, what happens if this is it? Like, right. If you never, ever, ever get an opportunity like this ever again. And for the first time in my life, I was like, I think that's okay. Like, I think that's fine. Not saying that you don't, you know, you don't fight for it. You just give up or stop working for it. But it's like, what if this was your story? What if this is what God had planned? And I'm so, especially now that I've had time to really just like kind of think about it and clear it out, I'm really, really thankful that it was, I mean, it was a blessing. It was nothing less than a bunch of blessings. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm not just giving up, quitting, walking away. But if this is what God is saying, of like, hey, you're done here. Like, God still gets the glory at the end of the day through it. And I get to do some ridiculous next. We'll see. But no, that's it. I'm thankful. And I truly appreciate both you and Swerve and just, you know, the encouragement, being able to have other, especially Black guys to talk to, both older, younger. Leo is a couple years younger than me, but like, he's somebody that, you know, same thing. He's in literally the exact same situation of like, this might be it, but this isn't over.
Right.
And you know, being able to, I gotta call him too.
One of the sharpest minds I've ever met. Dude is a lighthead of his vision and just the way he sees things. He's light years ahead of his own mind sometimes. He's one of them guys with an age and the mind is like, it doesn't match because he's somewhere else. He's so sharp. Him and Swerve are like that. I get why they're close too, because I see it. They're both just, they see things 10 years down the line. It's like, dude, I wish I had that talent, bro. Like, I'm just trying to finish my meal the next day. Like, y'all.
And they make it look easy.
And I'm like, it's a different type of, you know, I can sit there and call this song a freestyle, but for y'all grown men to go in there, not have nothing set and just make a match out of it, it's a whole different world, bro. It's a whole different world.
Exactly.
That's a whole different world, man. You know, one thing I will say in closing, man, anything I could do, you know, to be I always say this to everyone, especially if I really rock with the person and they come on, anything I could do to be a better person, a better friend, you know what I mean? I just always want to put out that olive branch to you and to everyone that I talk to on this show, because I try to have conversations. I don't want it to be an interview and you get a question, you're like, oh, here goes that question I've been asked 15 times. I just like to have this as two friends, peers, showing love to each other, having a conversation, man. And I know this isn't the end. This is just the beginning of something very, 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 very special between two homies. And, you know, man, whatever you need me for, anything you need me for, brother, you know, you got my number. I'm always here.
Sir. And right back to you, man. I appreciate this. And even outside of me, just keep giving people the platform, whether it's through Swerve City Podcast, TZ's Table, whether it's just as a feature on a track, like, just keep doing what you're doing. And no matter what, you making history too.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
Thoroughly appreciate it, man. And tell them where they can follow you on social media, things of that nature, man, where they can hit you up and for business too, if you're doing songs for people, things of that nature as well.
Yeah, so you can follow me at J Dean is my middle name. So J Dean Williams on all platforms. My website is jdeanwilliams.com. My email address is info@jdeanwilliams.com. I try to keep everything just as one, so as easy as possible. Check out Wrestle and Flow, the video series, the social media channels, the merchandise, and be on the lookout for some more stuff.
That's all you have to say, man. You know, everybody that knows this man, he's always got something cooking up, as all of us inspired folks do. And like I always say on the show, man, show love to each other. Everybody can work together, get a plate. We're all in this to share, all of us as people, especially people of color and everybody in the world, man. Treat your fellow man, treat your fellow woman very, very nice, very kind. Work together and put the pieces together, man. It's the only way the world's going to be able to continue. So, you know, thank you guys for supporting my man right there, Mr. WrestleFlow, Josiah Williams. I am TZ Scott. And, hey, man, all you promoters, man, book us for a tour or something, man. You know,
book us for a tour.
You know what I mean? Thank you, guys. God bless, man. Have a good one.